Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners, but also to introduce the four exciting and intrepid players of the game. We welcome back one of our regular players whose humorous contribution is beyond par, and that is Paul Merton. Sitting beside him, we have someone who's only played the game once before. He is our Irish representative here. That is that great presenter, Gerry Kelly. We have one of the great wordsmiths, one of our finest lyricists, Tim Rice, and beside him, one of the oldest and most experienced players of the game, Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak if they can on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Helen Williams, who's going to keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the full minute is up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Belfast Festival at Queen's, and we are at the University here at Queen's in front of a most distinguished and excited Irish audience who are going to give forth with a little bit of clapping as well and enjoy themselves as we try and keep going on the subjects. Clement Freud, what about you beginning the show this week? And the subject is pleasantries. Can you tell us something about pleasantries in 60 seconds, starting now?
A pleasantry is a verbal or physical earnest of recognition, or possibly...
Gerry Kelly's challenge immediately.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was hesitation. Yes. Well done, Gerry.
Thank
yes.
you.
I should explain to all our listeners, particularly those abroad in India and China and all the other countries that we go to, that every time Gerry Kelly gets anything right, there will be an incredible response from the audience, because this is his home area, so there's a lot of prejudice going. But not on the part of the chairman. Gerry, a correct challenge. You're right in there. 52 seconds are available. Pleasantries starting now.
The most common pleasantry in Northern Ireland is, "What about ye?" which is said by a variety of people, from taxi men to bin people to other fellow travellers on this world of ours. Oh, shut up.
Tim Rice challenge.
There was a definite stumble there.
There was a definite stumble. It's the first time I've ever heard a presenter telling himself to shut up. Tim, you've got in, because we call that hesitation. 42 seconds are available. Pleasantries, starting now.
Pleasantries is not where the Chinese keep their game birds. No, it is a string of often insincere statements made to ease the way at social functions.
Clement Freud challenge.
I thought that was hesitation.
No, I don't think
so.
Oh,
really?
So. No. And this audience is going to let us know when there's a challenge is correct or not. There are 32 seconds available for pleasantries. Still with you, Tim, starting now.
For example, I may say things tonight that I don't really mean, purely to keep things going well.
Clement Freud challenge.
Two things.
The two things which you said before.
Oh, yes. We should all...
So that was a correct challenge. A point to you, Clement, for that. 25 seconds, pleasantries, starting now.
Have a nice day. Does your mother take in washing? Has she sold her mandolin? What's become of the old piano your sister used to strangle?
Tim Rice challenged after about the second of those peculiar pleasantries.
Well, I thought the second one, which I now can't remember,
was
actually an
insult. Was
does
your mother take in washing?
Oh, yes.
You would not describe it as...
No,
a pleasantry.
Well...
I suppose it...
I think I was wrong, Chairman. I think...
You think so? I suppose...
I would like to be...
What strata of society you move? Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't say to someone in the Dorchester Hotel, does your mother take in washing? I suppose it could be interpreted as a pleasantry, so...
Take in where?
We're not going to get into that, Tim, sorry. I will be generous to Clement and say he has 15 seconds and a point, and he continues on pleasantries, starting now.
In different countries of the world, you get quite separate pleasantries. For instance, in Turkey, somebody hits you incredibly hard on the shoulder, and when you get up, having fallen down, he says, "Ha-ha, good to see you."
Repetition of ha.
That's right. And was indeed. Well, listen, Paul, you have a correct challenge, you have a point. You have 3 seconds for pleasantries, starting now.
Is that a demob suit you're wearing? Is a very...
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. And at the end of that round, they all have 2 points. Jerry Kelly has one. Tim Rice, will you take the next round? Something very topical for now. Will you tell us something about girl power? 60 seconds, starting now.
I am of the school that believes girls should be obscene and not heard, but there are plenty who have a much more stringent and positive view about girl power, viz. The Spice Ladies. There are 5 of them, as you all know. There is Scary.
Clement Freud challenge.
I didn't know.
Man who has a regular column in the newspapers, he didn't know that. Clem, it was a lovely challenge. We give you a bonus point because the audience enjoyed it. But the subject stays with Tim Rice, and it is 47 seconds available. Girl power, Tim, starting now.
Then there is Baby, and then there is Ginger.
And Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of and
then there is. Trying to avoid the Spice, but he put in then there is. 43 seconds. Girl power's with you, Paul, starting now.
Well...
He thought about it and went to a shuddering halt. Jerry Kelly, you challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, mm-hmm. Indeed.
No, it wasn't a hesitation.
Oh, right.
It was a full stop.
Yes, it was a wonderful full stop, which is hesitation in just a minute. 41 seconds available for you, Jerry, on girl power starting now.
In the physical sense, I don't think girls have much power. I had a puncture the other night as I was driving home, and I wheeled down a car. A lady got out, and I asked her, could she help me mend the hole in the brown thing on the vehicle that I was driving at that particular time? It was only flat at the bottom. It was fully inflated on the top bit of it. I hesitated. That's a hesitation there.
Jerry, just a bit. You challenged yourself.
Yes, I have.
So I have to ask you, what was your challenge?
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. You definitely hesitated, Jerry.
So I did.
That is a correct challenge.
Thank you.
So you get a point for a correct challenge. And, mind you, if you keep this up, you could win the game. And you keep the subject, of course. And 18 seconds are available. Girl power starting now.
I took the jack out of the car and as...
Tim challenge.
Definitely we've had at least 2 cars.
You've had 2 cars. Yes, you got carried away there, yes. Tim, girl power is back with you when there are 16 seconds available starting now.
Sporty and posh complete the lineup. This incredibly exciting group which illustrates the subject on the card, girl power. Isn't it wonderful? I can hear every female in the nation screaming that these intelligent, bright, witty women...
So Tim Rice was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's taken the lead. He's one ahead of each of the other 3. And the next subject is very apt. It's called Stitched Up. And I mean getting stitched up sometimes by our contestants and players, because that is part of the object of the game, I think, to get me confused. But Paul, will you take the subject starting now?
I was once stitched up when I was about 7 years old. I was playing football, a very good game that lots of people play, and I remember banging my head against a bit of concrete and being taken away into a little hospital and some stitches above the eyebrow. Nothing particularly spectacular, not like having your head cut off and having to have that stitched back onto your neck. Nothing as outrageous or as outlandish as that. Also, being stitched up means when somebody deliberately puts you into position against your will where things happen to you that you'd rather they didn't. For example, if I was to be found walking down the centre of Belfast saying, kill Jerry Kelly, that would be stitched up because I wouldn't know at the time who he was, and people would say, don't you know that you are insulting one of the most celebrated people that we have on this great island of ours? And I'd say, oh, that one, I wasn't referring to that particular individual. The one I was referring to was the one that lives near me, in fact. How long is this going on?
Well, he's challenged you twice now. Jerry, what were you challenging about?
I would just like to agree with him. No challenge whatsoever.
So, bonus point to Jerry, because they enjoyed the challenge, but Paul keeps the subject. He gets a point for being interrupted, of course. 7 seconds on being stitched up, Paul, starting now.
I suppose if you really think about it, the prime example of somebody being stitched up is...
Thank you. So Paul Button began with the subject and, in spite of one interruption, finished with the subject, and he gained that extra point for doing so. He's now equal in the lead with Tim Rice and Jerry Kelly, and Clement Freud is only 1 point behind them. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The Glens of Antrim. Tell us something about that beautiful part of this part of the world. 60 seconds starting now.
The Glens of Antrim is a new band which, rather like the Spice Girls, is likely to hit the public and achieve huge acclaim.
There is Tim Rice, challenge.
The Spice Girls already have done that, and you said that they were likely to do it. So
they were less, according to him, that they're likely that they could achieve fame. I don't think he was deviating. I think it's trying.
Well, he claimed earlier not to know anything about the Spice Girls at all.
I learned.
From what we've learned.
But he listened to you. You see,
Tim. I appreciate that. Yes.
Right. So, an incorrect challenge, Tim. 49 seconds still with Clement. The Glens of Antrim, starting now.
The names of the Glens of Antrim are Artifice, Beatrice, Charles, Damon, Eric, Frederick, George, Harry, Ivor, Joe, Kenneth, Lancelot, Martin, Ned, Oliver, Peter, Quentin, Richard.
You were challenged after Martin. Paul, what was your challenge?
Well, it was a hesitation.
After Martin, he couldn't think of another name for the podcast. Yes, you will observe they do have different ways of playing the game, but he definitely hesitated after Martin, and Paul got in there, and he's got 29 seconds on the Glens of Antrim, starting now.
Well, this is going to be an interesting 29 seconds, because I know nothing at all about the Glens of Antrim. Thank you.
And Jerry Kelly's shot.
It's a complete deviation. You shouldn't have started if you knew nothing about it.
Actually, in just a minute, even if you don't know anything about it, you still have to try and keep going.
No, but he's in Northern Ireland. He shouldn't open his mouth about something he doesn't know about.
It is obvious the audience want to hear from you on the Glens of Antrim, and if you don't give them something really... Jerry, you are in trouble, so you have a correct chance.
I look forward to his expert knowledge.
Right. 23 seconds, the Glens of Antrim, Jerry, starting now.
Where the Glen...
That's it. About just a minute. They're under pressure. Three followers breathing down their necks, and Tim was the first to buzz. Yes, 21 seconds for you on the Glens of Antrim, Tim, starting now.
Only this afternoon I was strolling through the Glens of Antrim, breathing in that wonderful Irish air and thinking I could not be in a better place than this fantastically attractive, delightful, ebullient, enthusiastic, frighteningly...
Full challenge.
Run out of words beginning with E.
So what is the correct challenge?
Well, hesitation.
I think he'd almost hesitated, yes. He was... No, all right, then you didn't. I don't mind.
But Paul, you don't mind?
No. As long as I'm fair about it. Paul, I'm going to give you a bonus point because we love the challenge. But Tim gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject, the Glens of Antrim. 7 seconds available starting now.
At number 43, Acacia Avenue in Antrim, you will find the Glen family, Dave and Kath, and their daughters, Veronica...
Jerry Kelly, you challenge.
It's actually number 44.
They moved about a year ago.
Yeah.
Jerry Kelly, you have half a second on the Glens of Antrim, starting now.
One of the most attractive...
So they're all equal still? No, Jerry Kelly has taken the lead. 1 point ahead of the other two. Jerry, it's your turn to begin. The best piece of advice ever given to me. That is a subject. Can you talk on it starting now?
The best piece of advice ever given to me was neither a borrower nor a lender be. Surprisingly that this counsel has stuck in my mind all these years because it was my great-grandfather who first said it to me. He owed at the time £30,000 to the Inland Revenue. However, I have been working steadily since as a television presenter, making very little money throughout all that. People ask me regularly if even if they could borrow money... from me, and I have said, no, you may not. Neither a borrow.
Jerry,
no, I am away with it here with the birdies.
But Tim Rice actually challenged you before you got into your full stride.
A lot of hesitation. And
there was a bit of hesitation. Not a lot. No, just a bit of hesitation.
Easily enough to get the point.
Enough to get the point, yes. You have 33 seconds, Tim, on the best piece of advice ever given to me, starting now.
The best piece of advice ever given to me was be sincere even if you don't mean it. This is extremely important and incredibly useful as you go down life's rocky path. There will be vicissitudes. There will be...
And Clement Freud challenged. There will be. Right, Clement, 19 seconds. The best piece of advice ever given to me, starting now.
I think the best piece of advice ever given to me was when I went into my local public house and saw a notice which said, food, drink, and a kindly word, special deal, £3.99. I availed myself of this and got a glass of red wine and some meat pie and waited. The...
You were interrupted with the whistle, but we'd love to hear the end of the story.
Well, I had my glass of red wine and a meat pie and waited, and the barman said, why are you waiting? And I said, I'm waiting for the kindly word. And he said, don't eat the meat pie.
So you've got the point for speaking as the whistle went. We should almost give you a bonus for the joke. It's a good one. Right. But Clement, you've now gone into the lead, one ahead of Tim Rice and Jerry Kelly. Paul Merton's one behind them. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject, sugar daddy. Tell us something about sugar daddy in just a minute, starting now.
I have a sugar daddy. He pays for everything. Hotel suites, plane tickets, expensive meals, exotic holidays. His name is Nicholas Parsons. And he is a marvellous individual to me. The number of
Jerry Kelly challenged you.
I thought you hesitated.
I know, I just found it hard to believe myself.
Yeah. So, Jerry, you've got it. I wanted to hear more about that, actually. I didn't know all this. Anyway, 49 seconds available. Sugar Daddy with you, Jerry, starting now.
Paul and I could well be brothers, because I too have a sugar daddy in our chairman tonight, Mr. Nicholas Parsons. Nicholas and I go back many...
Tim Rice challenge.
Two Nicholases.
I know, but you can't have too much of a good thing. Oh, I love coming to Northern Ireland. Right. But it was a correct challenge, so Tim, you have another point. You have 41 seconds. Sugar Daddy starting now.
The two greatest sugar daddies of all time were Mr. Tate and Mr. Lyle.
Came before a challenge. Two Mr.
Repetition of Mr.
36 seconds, Sugar Daddy, with you, Clement, starting now.
I have a friend who is confectioner who informs me that sugar daddies need more sugar than sugar mummies. And this, I think, is quite false, because if you consider the protrusion that emits from a man...
challenge.
Is it just me, or... Is Clement completely incomprehensible?
No, I don't think promusion is a word that you'd find in the usual dictionary.
Absolutely.
No. So we call that deviation from the English language as we understand it. Paul, I agree with the challenge. 20 seconds are left, and the sugar daddy is still with you, starting now.
Fancy lingerie. There's nothing that he won't buy for me. And as the two of us lie on our Caribbean beach, looking into each other's eyes, I can swim for hours in that deep azure blue that you find just beside his pupil, and I...
Tim, you challenged.
Yes, we had two lookings. He was looking
you
into
did
your...
have two lookings. My goodness me. What a picture it paints of your chairman. I'm going to get all kinds of indecent proposals now, Paul. You know that, don't you?
You wish.
Tim. Tim, you have a challenge which is correct, and there were 7 seconds when you pressed your buzzer. Sugar Daddy is with you, starting now.
Sugar Daddy are a very exciting blues-tinged septet from New Orleans. In actual fact, from quite near.
Tim Rice was then speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so. It's very even all the way through. It's neck and neck, as they say. And Clement Freud and Tim Rice are now equal, just one ahead of Paul Merton and Jerry Kelly. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, tyres. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I have a new national hunt horse, which is called Dig Up St. Edmunds. And the sad thing when it runs in a race is that it tires. The animal starts the way they do for a race, and after a mile and three quarters, it is well in the lead, and you think, this is going to be it, I shall become rich, I will be able to augment my BBC salary, and it tires. It comes nowhere or last. The money I have invested in it goes to the bookmaker, and sadly, I have to return to work. Tires are also things that you find on the four extremities of a car, made of rubber in the old days, but now some other pneumatic substance. Who knows, probably coming from Northern Ireland, where the great inventions emanate. I think somebody in Fermanagh, or it might have been Down or Derry, possibly Armagh.
Well, that hasn't happened in just a minute for a very long time. The person who took the subject at the beginning kept going without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. He was not interrupted, and he did the full 60 seconds and deservedly got that big round of applause. So he gets a point for speaking as the whistle went, but a bonus point for not being interrupted. And, of course, that reference at the end was right, because I believe tyres were first invented by Mr. Dunlop here in Northern Ireland. It was a Northern Irish invention. And what is the score at the end of that round? So, Clement Freud has increased his lead, but only by two, because that was all the points he got. Jerry Kelly, it's with you again. The bare necessities. You can interpret that any way you wish, but talk on the subject. 60 seconds, starting now.
When I travel abroad, I take with me the bare necessities. That includes a pair of shades, a pair of trunks...
And Paul will be challenged.
A pair of...
Two pairs... Yeah. So, Paul, you got in with 52 seconds with pairs, and the bare necessities are with you starting now.
Well, and about 1968, I remember going to see a Walt Disney cartoon called The Jungle Book, and one of the popular songs in that particular movie was The Bare Necessities, sung by a character called Baloo the Bear. And his voice was, in fact, supplied by Phil Harris, who was a very popular American entertainer in the 40s and 50s, and I believe was...
Tim Challenge.
It was in the 40s and 50s. I mean, there was actually an But I don't really want a challenge on that.
Just because I've got a speech impediment.
Oh, I must say, you can work an audience, can't you, Tim? You suddenly thought you'd lost them and you changed your mind. But you know, one has to be fair. He did say,
He certainly did,
and
yes,
we
yes,
have
he
to,
did.
I have to be fair within the game. And if you say, that is hesitation, even if you say it quickly. So, Tim, I think you should have it. 31 seconds, the bare necessities starting now.
The bare necessities of life are 5 bob in your pocket...
Paul Merton Challenge.
Decimal currency. 5 bob is no longer a bare necessity.
I was going to go on saying, as my mother told me in 1968.
But you didn't establish that in time, so I think
well,
that
I
was...
This... How could I? This twerp interrupted me.
No, listen, I was generous to you on the last round. I think it's only fair I should be generous to Paul now, and that makes it equal. So, Paul, you have another point, and the subject, 26 seconds, the bare necessities, starting now.
I remember saying to indoors about the bare necessities of life. And the reply I got was one that was rather extraordinary, because I sometimes think of the dear Queen and Prince Philip, and when I mention Her Highness, she's otherwise known as which is E-R.
Clement, challenged.
Repetition of
. Indoors and there, right, Clement.
Two different words. Pronounced the same.
I know, but we are in sound radio, and it's what you say that matters, not how it appears on the paper. Written, 10 seconds, the bare necessities, Clement, starting now.
For me, among the bare necessities in life is a notice on my desk which states, to err is human, to forgive is not my method.
So a great gift in just a minute if you can time your bon mots to go in with the whistle. Clement, you were speaking again as the whistle went. You've increased your lead and you're ahead of the other three, but they're almost equal in second place. That is Tim Rice, Paul Merton and Jerry Kelly. And we have little time left. We've got time for one more round. And Paul, I think it's your turn to begin. So let's take tunnel vision. Tell us something about that, if you can, in this game, starting now.
Several years ago, it was Napoleon who came up with the idea, I believe, of a channel tunnel. But it wasn't until the beginning of the 1990s that we actually saw this enterprise opened. I don't know if anybody here has actually travelled on the channel, as it's known more colloquially, but it is a rather interesting experience. On the English side, the train dawdles along at about 15 miles an hour. We reach the apparatus tube under the sea. It takes 13 minutes to get through that. Once we get onto the French side, we are whizzing along at 170 kilometres.
Right. Paul, you were challenged before.
Oh, I didn't hear, sorry.
Sorry, two sides.
There were two sides, I'm afraid, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Inevitably.
Yes. That's one of the chief features of a tunnel.
I know.
If it goes round, it becomes a hoop.
Right, yes.
You wouldn't have the channel hoop.
No. We love your remarks.
The tube.
The tube. It's all good grist to the comedy mill, but unfortunately, in just a minute, you can't repeat the words, and you said side more than once. So, Tim Rice, you have the subject of tunnel vision starting now.
I felt that the person who chose this subject meant us to discuss an attitude that people have sometimes which prevents them from looking at anything other than one particular topic. They go droning on and again about the same thing over and repeatedly, just continuing to hammer home the same point.
A common point challenge. I think that was hesitation.
I think it was hesitation.
We were all waiting to see which other words he could use to describe the same thing. 8 seconds are left. Tunnel vision with you, Clement, starting now.
The Channel Tunnel is incredibly popular, and at Dover there are two queues, one marked cross-channel passengers, the other very cross-channel passengers.
So once again, Clement Freud got his joke in just as the whistle went, the payoff to the joke, and which is very shrewd, very clever, and also gets a point for speaking as the whistle went. And as I said a little earlier, this would have to be the last round. Alas, it is. Right, let me give you the final score. Not that the points matter so much, it is their contribution, and it was pretty even throughout, but in this situation, only 1 point separated the last three, which was Jerry Kelly in fourth place. Just ahead of him was Paul Merton, just ahead of him was Tim Rice, but a few points ahead of them was Clement Freud. So we say, Clement Freud, most points, you're the winner this week. So it only remains me to say thank you to our four exciting and talented players of the game, Paul Merton, Tim Rice and Clement Freud, and a special thank you to the person who's only played it twice now, that is Jerry Kelly. But will you thank all four of them? I want to thank Helen Williams for helping with the score, blowing the whistle when the 60 seconds was up. We thank Ian Messer for thinking up and creating this game that we enjoy playing, and Chris Neal, who has produced and directed it. And we thank you for your applause, your warmth and your reception. And thank you for the listeners. Until I wrap up once again, goodbye.